Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Amen. I'm glad that you're here today listening to George talk about family traditions. It made me think of a tradition that our family always enjoys, not so much at Thanksgiving or Christmas, although we do have some traditions there that we enjoy, but the one that I've been thinking about was a tradition that happens when our family tends to go to the beach. We're beach people. Some people are mountain people. Put me on vacation anywhere, and I'm that kind of a person. But if we're going to the beach, there's something that our family tends to do. When we go to the beach, we build sandcastles. Anybody in here build sandcastles when you go to the beach? We are sandcastle building people in our family, and it's because of the tradition that my dad has passed down to our family. And so that's just become an annual thing whenever we have the opportunity to go to the beach together. My dad, he calls it his therapy. He just likes to go and dig in the sand and just kind of be there and let the waves roll in. And he starts a sandcastle, and he will build on a sandcastle for hours and hours and hours, and then he gets people in the family to join him. You know, the grandkids usually are down there pretty quick. They're kind of first responders when it comes to the sandcastle building. Then, you know, I'll get in there, and my brother will get in there, my sister will get in there. Before you know it, there's all these people. Some of the people just walking on the beach. Hey, come on, join us! And I mean, he's an inviter. He's a bringer. He loves people just to help with the project. Here's a picture of one of the finer works that we did. I mean, it's like a big, like it happens like a long time, like all day long, and we'll be working on it. And yet, no matter how long we build and how big we build the sandcastle, how tedious the moats are. We have the drip theory. You know, some people have the pack theory. Well, Dad's a dripper, and so he does the dripping, and you have all these beautiful little things all over the place. You get some moats going there, and yet no matter how long and how intricate and how many people have worked on it, at the end of the day, you know what happens to it? Boom. Waves come in, tide rises, the surges of the water hit that sand, and what happens? It gets washed away. Hey, draw me a picture of a family tradition that you do, or something that you enjoy doing with your family. Maybe it's on vacation. Maybe it's something like George mentioned earlier. It's a tradition at when your family gets together. Draw me a picture, and let me see into your world. Let me see into your family. What is it that you like to do that's a tradition? When you're finished with it this morning, put it on my board out in the Home Life Center, because I want to see into that part of your world. One summer a few years ago, we were with Allison's family. We were down at the beach at this place called Surfside that we like to go to. And the first day that we got there, it was great. And I'm just passing on the family tradition of building the sandcastles. So Jack and Lucy are down there with me, and they're building the sandcastle with me. And at the end of the day, guess what happened? The waves came and blows it away again, and it clears the beach. It washed our sandcastle away. No big deal. That happens all the time. Well, the next day, the weather really was not too nice, okay? I mean, like, the storm surges kind of started moving in closer and closer. The waves started getting a bit choppier. The wind started blowing harder, and as we began to find out, there was actually a hurricane that was coming our way. It wasn't going to be there. It hit when we were there in full, but we were starting to get some of the effects of what was happening out at sea, far from the land. And so we're in this house, and we're feeling the effects. Have you ever been in a house down at the beach when the wind's blowing really hard and you're kind of doing that with it? Well, we were doing that with it, and we could feel the wind, and the house is moving, and the storm surge is coming up, and we've got this great balcony. We're like, wow, that water's kind of getting a little bit closer, and it's getting a little bit closer, and it's getting it's getting a lot closer, and it's just coming our way more and more and more, and we could feel that stormy weather all around us. us. And I'm kind of wondering if, are we going to experience the same thing that our sandcastle experienced? Or, I mean, what's going on here? And we didn't experience what the sandcastle experienced because the foundation of the beach house that we happened to be renting for that week was solid. And it had these really tall, thick beams that were grounded into that foundation. So the water could come up. It could come all the way up if it wanted to. And we were going to be okay. Unlike our glorious sandcastles that were blown away by the rising waters. That beach house that we were in, it stood really strong. But down the beach, not too far from where we were, there were some houses that weren't built the same way that our house was that we were staying in. And they were up kind of close to the water, and their foundation was not the same as our foundation was that we were staying in. It was not lifted on really strong beams, really strong, powerful, down into the ground. Foundations there, and those houses really got hammered. They got blown away as well. And this morning, what we're going to see is that Jesus uses that same imagery of houses that have been built wisely, that have been built in a solid way, versus those that have been built by foolish builders on shifting sand. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, it's on page 812. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we're finished this morning. I'll make sure that you have a Bible that you can take with you. Today, we are finishing up the most famous sermon that was ever recorded that Jesus preached, known as the Sermon on the Mount. Now, this Sermon on the Mount that Matthew recorded can be found over Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. If you're just joining us today, you're in visiting today, welcome. We're glad that you're here. This sermon that Jesus preached probably took, best guess, about 18 to 20 minutes for him to preach this sermon. Now, we're going to just look at the last minute or so, and you're going, oh, you're just going to preach for 1 minute today? I didn't say that. I said we're going to look at what Jesus said in the last minute of his sermon. You're going to get the full meal deal today, okay? I want to make sure that you didn't hear what I wasn't saying there, but this is where it's believed that Jesus preached this sermon. It's a picture I snapped when I was in the Holy Land, and just imagining myself, Allison imagining herself as we stood there and going, wow, what must that have been like? For the crowd of people to be at Jesus's feet and hearing him preach these incredible words. So we'll finish up his sermon today that goes to the end of Matthew 7, and we'll see how the people responded. We'll see what he had to say. Let's see how Jesus closes his sermon, and let's consider what he said in this final minute or two of his Sermon on the Mount. He's going to talk about how people build their lives, how people build their homes, their marriages, their families, their legacies. And he's gonna give an analogy. He's gonna say either we're building them like wise people on a rock, a sure, strong foundation, or as foolish people on ground that's shifty, sandy ground, something that's not sustainable, that's not going to last. And as we read these final words from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, ask yourself this question: how am I building my life? How am I building my family? How am I building my whatever that you're invested in? Your business, your relationships. How am I building my life? Is it like a wise person on something that's solid? Or is it in a foolish way on shifting sands? Jesus wraps up his Sermon on the Mount. We'll pick it up in verse 24 of chapter 7. And Jesus is talking. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and what? And does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and they beat on that house, but it didn't fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and what does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So that final minute or so of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives such vivid, such memorable metaphors of the substance that people build their lives upon. Wise people, he says, build their lives, build their house, their family, their legacy on something that's solid. But foolish people try to build their life, their family, on something that's shifty, like the sand. It's what we were singing about earlier in that great hymn of the faith, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? It's sinking sand. It's shifting sand. All other ground. Everything else is sinking sand." And if you're a Jewish person listening to Jesus on that hillside, even the temple built in Jerusalem, the temple was such a huge part, a central part of a Jewish person's life. You talk about traditions. I mean, every year at Passover, it was expected that the Jewish people would make a pilgrimage back to Jerusalem to the temple. It's what they did. It was part of their heritage. It's part of their tradition. And yet Jesus is saying, hey, apart from Christ, apart from me, apart from the solid foundation, it too, the temple as well, is nothing but sinking sand. See, what had become in the Jewish person's heart and mind as a symbol of security, Jesus is warning against. He's saying even the temple is built on shifting sand. Apart from me, it's all sinking sand. And at the end of Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offered a solemn challenge to all that the temple stood for. Look there again in verse 24. He says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." And then along with the challenge goes this solemn warning. Jesus says, unless you follow the way, live your life that I'm offering you, you're going to be like a foolish person who's building his house, building her home, her family, her legacy on something that's not going to stand in the end. See, you can go to the temple. You can make all the sacrifices that you want. You can do all the religious rituals, sing all the songs, do the religious song and dance. You can keep all the rules. And yet, if you don't build your life on a firm and solid foundation that is a relationship with God, it's all going to come crashing down. Winds and storms are going to come, and they're going to beat on the lives. They're going to beat on the houses of both the wise person and the foolish person who builds on sand. And when it comes on the person who's built their life, their family on sand, it's coming down. Did you see that? Did you see that warning in verses 26 and 27? Look again what Jesus says. He said, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it what? It fell, and it didn't just fall, it fell with what? A great crash. Great was the fall of it." Well, guess what? We got any history buffs in here? Yeah? Oh, good, just me, then I'll get to tell you this neat story. Because what Jesus said on this Sermon on the Mount, and what those Jewish people who are listening to him on the mount, and in their mind, they're thinking, even the temple? Now you're going, oh, I do know that story. You're going, what's the story? Well, in 66 AD, which is about 40 years after Jesus preached his Sermon on the Mount, in 66 AD, the Jews of Judea rebelled against their Roman occupiers, their Roman masters. And in response, the Emperor Nero of that time dispatched an army under the generalship of a guy named Vespasian. So if you're wondering what to name your next kid, how about Vespasian? Maybe not, okay? So Emperor Nero sends Vespasian to restore order. And so he sends in the Roman armies. And you know what they did? They destroyed the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD. The Roman army that came in was like the storm surge that blows away the sandcastle at the end of the day. And even the temple got knocked down. The winds did come. The storms did blow. The crash did happen. The leaders of Israel in Jesus' day refused his challenge that he taught on the Sermon on the Mount. They didn't listen to his warnings, and they continued to pursue their own dreams, to try to build their own house of Israel. Through military revolution, through subversive action, keeping the light for themselves, just the Israelites and nobody else. We're the only light in the world. And you know what? Many of the ordinary Jews followed their leaders into a crash, into a great crash. Until the house of God, the temple, was destroyed by the Roman wave in 70 AD. Just 40 years after Jesus had warned them, this is what will happen. There's always more to what Jesus is saying than just what's on the surface. There's so much depth, so much richness. Jesus was warning the crowds on that day on the side of the hill in Galilee, don't find your security in anything apart from God. Even the temple and the rituals that you do there, all the rules, all the religious ceremony, all those regulations, that's nothing but sand if you miss the relationship with God. If you miss God in the midst of the religious dance, you're just building a house on sand that's going to crash. What Jesus is talking about is a heart-to-heart relationship with God, not just a bunch of rules and regulations to keep. Building your life on a whole bunch of rules, even if it's built at the base of the temple, it's still not going to be able to stand in the end. And Jesus' challenge and his warning continue to echo down through the centuries and out across the whole world. Build your house on the rock. That's the only way to go. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, That's who we build our life on. That's the way to build your house and your life and your family and your identity and your legacy. That's the only way to go. It's the only truly human way to be. And it's the opposite of what many, if not most people on the planet think today and live today. And yet it's the only way that will stand in the end. Anything and everything else is like building on shifting sand. Even those great Black Friday deals that you got. I'm sorry to let you know that. All the savings that you got. Shifting sand. Enjoy it. I'm not saying don't enjoy it. I'm not saying take it back. I'm just saying don't build your identity on Black Friday. John MacArthur says that the house built on the rock, that's the life that empties itself of all self-righteousness, of all pride, that's overwhelmed by, that mourns for our own sin. When's the last time you really were overwhelmed and mourned over your own sin? Did anybody just stop on Thanksgiving and go, "Oh, I'm so thankful for the cross"? Because all this stuff, as good as it is, doesn't mean squat if I'm not free from my sin. The person that builds their house on the rock is the one who's making every intentional and maximum effort in every area of life to enter through that narrow gate and be faithful on the narrow way that Jesus talks about. That's His Word. Such a builder doesn't build his life on a place of some kind of hope and a ceremony or a ritual or a vision or an experience or a feeling or a hope of some miracle, but on the Word of God. And on God's Word alone. That's why when we finish every time reading a portion of Scripture, we pause and we remind ourselves, this is the Word of the Lord. And we say what? Thanks be to God. And when we say thanks be to God, what we're saying is, oh yeah, this is what I can build my life on. Because it's solid and it's eternal, and things that are eternal are always going to be relevant, no matter what's trending. Eternity is trending. And the Word of God is solid. As solid today as the day that it was God-breathed. And you can count on it. And yet the builder on sand, a sandy kind of a building life, is composed of a lot of human opinions and attitudes and fads, which always seem to be shifting. Is anybody wearing the same clothes today that you were wearing last year? People with mortgages are. But the fads and the trends and whatnot change. And you go, man, I gotta get a whole new wardrobe. Well, okay. Just don't build your life around that. Don't build your life around that. To build your life on sand is to build your life on self-will, self-fulfillment, self-purpose, self-sufficiency, self-satisfaction, and self-righteousness. To build on sand is to be a person who's unteachable, unchangeable, and unrepentant. Repentance means to change the way you think about something and go in a new direction. One of the traditions that we have in our family is when we put our Christmas tree up and we decorate our house, when we finish that, we watch the movie Scrooge with Albert Finney, the old one. One that was made in the 70s. Not the old one, just the older one. And there's this part in there. And we had this spiritual conversation in the midst of it the other day. It was a quick one. But when the ghost of Christmas future comes and he shows Ebenezer Scrooge his future that's approaching quickly, that's a tomb that leads not to goodness, but death and hell. Ebenezer Scrooge turns to him and says, I will repent. I will repent. And we just had a quick conversation. What does that mean? It doesn't just mean be good. It means change the way you think about life and go in a totally new direction. Move from building on sand composed of religion and just going to church and religious ceremony, temple kind of living that the Jews were really, really into, and moving into and building on the solid rock of a personal and intimate and storm-sustaining relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what the seven people who stood last week and came and stood next to me were making sure of, that they weren't building their life on some kind of thing that they weren't sure of. They were saying, this is who I want to build my life on. Jesus Christ. Because whether you build on sand or whether you build on the rock, what Jesus said is that the storms of life are coming. They're coming on the wise and the fool alike. Did you see that? He said a storm's gonna hit the wise person's house and the foolish person's house. So get ready. I shared last week about the Bible study I went to for 6 years every Monday night from 8 to 10. Choice Bible study that Louis Giglio taught and preached at. And he preached about the storms hitting our lives. Man, I took so many great notes that they've been in me over the many, many years since I took them. I've shared some of them with you before. I want to share some of them with you again this morning. And so it's this reality. Storms will blow in my life and in your life. Storms will blow in my life and your life. Can we just take an out loud note together on three? One, two, three. Storms will blow in my life and in your life. You see, the reality is this. The storms of life are either blowing on your life right now. They were blowing on your life, and maybe they've kind of died down a little bit, or they are about to begin blowing on your life in the coming days. That's just a fact for every single one of us. And storms in life may be the diagnosis of cancer or unemployment or a divorce or getting cut from the team, or maybe it's picture day and you wake up and you've got bad acne. That's just a storm if you're getting ready for picture day and you got bad acne on that day. Maybe the storm in your life is a death, or it's a debt that you've been left to pay. Maybe you're finding yourself in this season of life in what's been called the sandwich generation, and you're trying to take care and raise your kids, and at the same time you're needing to give care to your parents, and you're feeling like you're in a stormy sandwich season. And you're just going, God, help. I feel like I'm drowning right now. It's pouring onto my marriage. The storm surges are coming with the expenses. You see, storms come in all sizes and in all shapes and forms. And you're going, wow, well, I'm glad I came to church today. Thanks for really being an uplifting pastor. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer today. I'm just trying to be a pastor that always will tell you the truth and point you in the right direction. And remind us of what Jesus has already told us in his unchanging word. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, in this world you're going to have tribulation. Read that. Storms, winds, difficulty, trouble. And he says, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. And as we think about this reality, we need to figure out who we are and what we're attaching and building our lives to that's going to be secure, that's going to be strong, that's going to be solid, and that's going to be there when the storms of life begin to blow. So let me just give you four beams as we wrap up. Four beams to secure your life to when the storms begin blowing and raging around your life. The first one is this: secure your life to the person of Jesus. Secure your life to the person of Jesus. You might want to jot that down or take a picture of that. Secure your life to the person of Jesus. You and I must be keenly aware that God is with us. We will sing about that name of God over and over again as we move into and through the Christmas season. Emmanuel. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means what? God is with us. Men and women, information and belief are not what gets you through the storms. Intimacy with Jesus is what gets you through the storms. Intimacy with Jesus, a deep personal relationship with Jesus is what gets you through the storm. That's why the psalmist says, even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? Because you are with me. So, number one, secure your life to the person of Jesus. Number two, secure your life to the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church. So we talk about around here every week, we say we are in community. That means we are connected to, secured to the body. We're known and we know. We pray for and are prayed for by the body. You can't survive a storm in isolation for very long. You must be connected. You must cultivate a mentality that we're all in this together. God desires through our unity to have encouragement and strength. God wants you to connect. He created you and me to connect not only with Him, but with each other. Those who are trying to follow Jesus. That's what it talks about in places like Romans 15, verses 1 to 5. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, when it says, bear one another's burdens. And when you do that, you're fulfilling the law of Christ. So number two, secure your life to the body of Christ, the church. Third thing that we want to secure our lives to that's strong and a firm foundation, secure your life to the Word of God, the Bible. You see, it's by the Word of God and in the Word of God that we begin to develop a confidence in the God that we can know, the God who came near, the God who is with us. Don't wait till a storm starts blowing to kind of find a verse. Dwell in this Word daily. Let it become the very foundation, the very fabric of your being. That's what Jesus talks about over in John chapter 8, verse 31, where He says that those who really believe in Me, He says, if you abide in My Word, that's when I know that you're truly My disciples. The word abide in John 8, 31 means to dwell, to hang out in, to soak up with a sponge, to treat God's Word like you treated that goodness. Anybody go to grandma's house this year for Thanksgiving? Man, we did. And there's so much goodness that grandmas can figure out how to just leave on the plate that you can't get up with a fork because it's just all the good juice that's on whatever, the turkey and the dressing and all that stuff. And so grandmothers know you got to have a roll. And what do you do with that roll? That's your sopper. So that you don't leave anything on the plate. Approach God's Word as the sopper. So that all of God's goodness that He has prepared for you gets sopped up and enjoyed. That's what Jesus is talking about. Abide in My Word. Dwell in My Word. Secure your life to My Word. Because then you'll know the truth. And what happens when you know the truth? The truth will what? It sets you free. It's better than Black Friday. The truth will set you free. So number three, secure your life to the Word of God, the Bible. And fourth and finally, secure your life to a lifestyle of praise. I want to invite our worship team to come right now and prepare to lead us in actually doing this fourth foundation that we're talking about, this fourth beam. Secure your life to a lifestyle of praise. What does that mean? That means no matter what happens, no matter what hits your life, you get to make a choice of how you're going to respond. And you can make a choice to rejoice. You can make the choice to praise God in the midst of the storms. Why? Because it honors God When we face a storm and we praise Him in the midst of it with our lips and with our lives, and we say to the effect, you are big enough to change it all. You are big enough and strong enough and powerful enough to say, be still. But even if you don't, I'm going to choose to praise you in the midst of it, because it may just be that God's going to use a stormy season in your life to draw you close to Him. When, if everything's going well, you'll just be out there looking for the next Black Friday deal. Sometimes the storms that blow the hardest are the ones that move you closest to Him. Nobody listens to you more than when you speak out of a stormy season and say, this is how you doing it. How you making it? You go, I'd be blown away if I wasn't building my life on something that doesn't change. And someone who doesn't change. This is the kind of life that's built with wisdom on the solid rock that Jesus had in mind. And when He said it, the scripture says the people, their minds just exploded, because He was one who was speaking with authority, not like the rest of those religious weasels that were showing them all the hoops they needed to jump through, all the times they needed to bow, and you got to bow like this. And you got to do this, and you got to walk this way, and you got to keep that rule. And Jesus is just going, too small. I've got a big life for you. And that's why I'm worthy of praise. And Jesus lived, and He spoke in such a winsome and curious and savory way, and He lived with such a savory and winsome and curious life that it just blew people's minds. Isn't that the kind of Sermon on the Mount living that you and I want to live? You're not so sure. Let me just ask that again. Isn't the life of the Savior, the one who's strong enough to say, be still, and it happened, the one who loved us enough to go, I'll take all 9 inches of those nails. It's a reason I came, because I love you this much. Isn't He the one worth listening to and living for? I'm going, yeah. Because He said, it's not just about who listens, it's about who does. When you listen and do my word, those are the wise people. Everybody else is just playing church. And church is a bad hobby to have, because all it will make you is tired and feel guilty. Life's too short to be tired and feel guilty all the time. There's got to be something more. And Jesus said, there is. Follow me, and I'll show you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.